Well, the Hawthorn Football Club are in action today against the Cats. They're closing in on 68,000 members, and you can still join 1300 042 957, hawthornfc.com.au. The boss of the Hawks, the Chief Executive, Stuart Fox, has been kind enough to join us in the box. Stuart, thanks for coming in.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Membership flying?
Yeah, membership's going really well, but I just found out today there's 8,500 members still not signed up from last year.
Oh, how dare they, Foxy.
What?
So, yeah, we've got a bit of a challenge. We want to get through 70,000, but our real goal is 73 this year.
Did you not remind them that you've just gone back-to-back?
We've got to keep doing that.
It's an amazing tally. Have you been able to take the pets off the membership list yet?
believe it or not, there are no pets. They're all very genuine memberships, and we're the highest in the comp for junior memberships. That's been something we're very proud of.
It is incredible, isn't it? It's always struck me as a sort of perverse bonus that came out of the near merger in 96, that all these sort of lazy Hawthorn supporters were forced to jump on the bandwagon. And it's been the making of the club, really.
Yeah, look, it has. But I think that there's also... Look, the merger's obviously very significant in the history of the club, but the last 10 years have also been really significant, jumping from probably... it would have been 40,000 members now up to nearly 70,000 members. So the last 10 years have been... really, really good for the club, and you know, obviously recent success, there's been a very good reason to join.
We had Brian Cook in here earlier, and a lot of people forget that you spent a lot of time at the Cats under Brian. But just going back to those days, what did you learn from Brian Cook that you're now using at Hawthorn? What was his greatest strength, do you think, that you've taken to the Hawks?
Oh, I'm just sitting up at lunch with him now, and I did hear him on radio, and he's the biggest guru. He didn't answer any of the questions, did he? Any of the hard questions. No, look, I spent 10 years under Brian, and I've got a lot of time for the man. We're a little bit more guarded these days with each other. Obviously, yep. The rivalry's pretty intense. But, yeah, look, 10 years at Geelong, and I remember probably the first 6 years were pretty horrific for the club and for Brian. And his management team trying to dig ourselves out of it. But Brian was, you know, such a good values person. He picked the people he wanted around him and then backed them in to do the job. And, you know, that's what I loved about him. He wasn't in your face all the time demanding things. He was very much let you get on with it. And, you know, those 6 years were very, very rewarding. They were hard work. The last 3 or 4 years of my time at the club, obviously then success came. So it was great to be part of that.
I would have thought the key word, both with the Cats coming out of that perilous position and with Hawthorn the last decade, is stability, both on the field but more so off it. You know, the major executive positions have been very stable at both clubs, and you know when you come into this system that the groundwork's all there, the people know what they're doing, and it's like a finely tuned engine that just keeps ticking over.
Yeah, absolutely. Both clubs have had great stability, and even when I walked into Hawthorn 6 years ago as the new CEO, I looked at everyone, and you know, I think the last thing everyone needed was a full review and, you know, change to personnel, and I was pretty measured in what I did in my first year, so I think stability's been a critical thing.
Foxy, we just saw a grab bit earlier from Talking Footy with Andrew Newbolt tonight.
Yep.
And he was saying the illicit drug problem has got the better of the AFL at the moment. He said there needs to be an overhaul.
Yep.
Do you think he's right?
Oh, I think he's absolutely right. Mm. We compared notes actually a couple of days ago. But look, I said, I think five years ago I said the policy was wrong, and everyone laughed at me, the clubs and the AFL. And I'm not saying, you know, how to suck eggs, but I just think there's too much room in it. And now we're seeing evidence that there is too much room. I've got in my mind what I think the policy should look like, but it just can't have as much tolerance, and it needs to be a lot stricter and a lot more accountable to the players.
So do you speak to the AFL about it? Do the AFL come to you as head of the club and say, look, what do you think? What do we need to do? Or is it just more they just decide?
No, look, Gill has come out obviously a week ago and said the policy needs review, and I'm sure he'll consult with the clubs. And we've got an opinion, as the other clubs will have, but... I think our opinion at the moment, I've got to put this to the board, it'll be a lot less tolerant to what it is. You know, maybe a two-strike policy. You know, after the first strike, you could possibly go out for 6 months, and if you do it again, you're out of the game.
Yeah.
And even this, even the, you know, the out-of-season hair testing doesn't count as a strike. Mm. That gives you a lot of knowledge of what your players are doing, you know, and whether that should count. So there's a whole lot of issues that need to be worked through.
How much more did the clubs have to be involved? It was put to me by someone at club level that perhaps the whole policy should be just, well, you employ the players, that you should take care of it. If you, you can test players, if you can deal with it the way, if you think they need real rehabilitation, you can rehab them. If you think they need a suspension, you can suspend them. But because you know them the best, that you should have a lot more input than you have at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. I think the clubs are in the best position to be able to help. And that's what it's all about. And I think years ago, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, the AFL were very worried about the ramification for the player if they were found out. Whereas I actually think it's the opposite now. If they are found out, that we're there to support and help them through it.
What about the balance of concern about illicit drugs versus performance-enhancing drugs? Because that's what struck me recently. I mean, we'd had one positive test for performance-enhancing drugs in 23 years, and now we've had four in a year and a half or something.
Yeah, look, the performance-enhancing drugs, they really worry me, and I've been brought up around elite sport when I was younger.
Do you think the AFL has a problem?
Look, I don't believe it's a big problem, but we should never underestimate what those drugs can do and the influence they can have on our game. So I just think, you know, very little tolerance around the performance-enhancing issue. If you obviously found out on game day, then the ramifications should be enormous.
Well, do you think that, and I'm going to be careful here because there are only allegations and whispers, but there are suggestions that in recent cases it's illicit drugs which have been the cause of the recording of a performance-enhancing drug test. Now, that in itself could be a deterrent to people from the illicit drugs, couldn't it? Because the consequences are so much greater.
Oh, you'd hope it would be a deterrent. But look, the reality is, I mean, it's such a privilege, I think, for the players to play in our sport. I think if you want to be an elite footballer, let's you know, decrease the tolerance
levels.
It's like
that privilege has almost been forgotten about now, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And I just, you know, as I said, I'm a big believer that, you know, if you want to play in our code and our game and you want to represent the industry and particularly a club, you've got to play by the rules.
Foxy, more important things, the game today. Looking at Hawthorn, I mean, we spoke about it a bit earlier. They're going for four grand finals in a row. You know how hard that can be.
Yep.
How does this group just keep itself going and going and going? What's the most important thing for them?
Well, I think it's about the depth of the list at the moment. I'd like to think it's something else and that I had a huge influence on it and Clarko did, but the reality is, you look at the depth of the list, there's some boys really challenged for spots, and even I think round one selection was extremely tough. So I think the depth of the list is going to keep everyone pretty active. But I think, look, the other thing that I've noticed about the group, particularly the leadership group, just their influence on the whole club and being able to influence other players, really strong culture. They're very, very determined. And, you know, I've just seen the tone Hodgie's put around the workplace. When we got back from Christmas, Alistair and I had a chat about the tone we would set. Not that we can influence huge, but I think we can set the tone, and that's been really important. So I think depth and really your leadership group and just that hunger. There's a lot of boys that have missed out on grand finals and premierships too, and I think a lot of the boys would, you know, they want them to be part of it as well.
Even there, the parallels with Geelong are striking, particularly that core of leaders who not only set a great example, but are among the best players in the team and are incredibly durable. They just managed to not miss many games and keep coming up.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I look at Geelong and Hawthorn. The leadership group at Geelong when I was down there was unbelievably strong. You know, they were ruthless and tough and hard, and that's why they've got three premierships too. So, that, you know.
The funny thing is, though, you mentioned the depth, and in a way, you're probably better prepared because of the adversity last year, because so many of those bottom-of-the-list guys ended up having to play senior footy, whereas in say 2012, even 2013, that wasn't the case. They were probably held back more. So these guys are now more ready to go than they would have been had you not had that spate of injuries early last season.
Yeah, absolutely. This pre-season's felt exceptionally good, but doesn't mean too much until you get a score on the board.
We know it's the year of the fans this year, Foxy, and the clubs have got their chance of doing a little bit of entertainment before the game. Is this your idea to get the blimp out here? And
No, look, that's IONET. That's their activation, their match day sponsor today. But look at the flames and the colour. No, we're burning a lot of money up there, aren't we?
you know what you need, Stuart? Like, I was watching an old grand final the other day from the mid-70s, as I'm prone to do. Hawthorn had among the best banners that went around the grandstands of any club in the competition. They had one, you know, so I'm talking about 75, 76 grand final here. And if you have a look at the pictures or the footage, it literally goes halfway around the ground. It's all about the man from Snowy River or something. Someone's got a... I'm sure you guys have got a good historical archive and museum yep. there. Someone's got to dig that up and I'll drag it out for a game.
We'll have a look at that. Look, I'm not convinced this is the answer to drawing fans in. Look, there's not a lot in yet, and we're expecting 75,000. I'm still a believer that a good, hard game of football yep. is the way to get the fans into the game.
James Frawley playing his first game, official yep. first game. How's his pre-season been? I mean, it was a fantastic get.
Yep.
From all reports, he was done and dusted at Geelong. Then you've come through the back door and snuck him in.
That's why Cookie wouldn't talk to him earlier.
I actually don't think we did come through the back door. I think it was agonising close between the two clubs. And he had a huge decision to make. And look, either club, you know, whichever way he went, it was going to be a good decision for him. But he's settled in pretty well. I think when he first moved over, he looked like he was really enjoying himself. And I spoke to him this week. He was pretty nervous. Mm. But he's settled in really well. I think it's just taken time coming into a new program, new club, new people.
Well, it's nerve-wracking for the old Melbourne players to go to other clubs without being rude or disrespectful, but they get to play in these big crowds.
Yeah.
Which is something they don't get, never really got to do with Melbourne.
Yeah, no, he's been good, and hopefully he has a good game today.
So you get Frawley through free agency. Yep. You lose Franklin, obviously, the year before that. What's your salary cap looking like? We know we were asking Brian Cook about Patrick Dangerfield. If a Patrick Dangerfield calibre type of plumber, saying him, but someone that commands a lot of money, have you still got some money left in your cap to chase players like Patrick Dangerfield?
I don't think there's a cent left at the moment, to be honest. If you look at the list, look, you're forever trying to find money, but you don't force players out. And I think we've got a very similar model to Geelong, and they'll obviously have retirements coming up and things like that, but we are extremely tight, and it will take retirements to obviously free up. Mm. And look, we've been criticised a little bit for getting Frawley, but the reality was we weren't in the market unless Buddy left. So that freed up obviously a lot of money, and we might be a little bit quieter next year. Who knows?
Is there any sort of pact between the players, a la Brisbane when they were winning and they all decided, you know, we're prepared to play for West to keep the group together? Has that sort of been discussed at an official level, or is it pretty informal?
I think there's some more money going up.
Daytime fireworks. Ross Oakley's got a gross of unused fireworks in his backyard. Go on, Stuart.
Thanks, iOnet, for funding that. What was the question again?
I've forgotten. No, it was about the player pact, because Brisbane had one.
Yeah, nothing official. But I do know our boys have been willing to stick together for unders, and it is very, very similar to what Geelong went through.
You don't talk about it, but you just know if you want to have sustained success, you've got to do those sacrifices.
Yeah, and we've had some big name players who really could have gone for double who didn't. Yeah. And now look what they've achieved together, and you know, who knows what else they could achieve.
Yeah, hopefully for your sake they achieve more in 2015. Stuart, thanks for coming out. Good luck today.
Thanks, guys.
Stuart Fox joining us, the Chief Executive of the Hawthorn Football Club. Become a member of the Hawks, hawthornfc.com.au, 1300 042 957, if you like to become a member. Nearly 68,000 members already in 2015. Always Hawthorn is the slogan.